Blog Talk Radio.
Student of the game, had people frontin' talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know I would make it with the knowledge in my brain, and if I succeed with that, then B-Ball would do the same. I can't complain, the situation that I'm in, meeting different connects that turn out to be my friends. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end, and when the ball starts bouncing on my diploma out the pen, but I'm hating then. Playing ball is just a small part. With this education, I have a great start. And if you work hard for the teachers, they might be showing love in the stands or in the bleachers. I'm only preaching, I'm just trying to spit knowledge and acknowledge opportunities at your disposal when you get to college. I use ball as a tool. Now every day I'm living and I'm making smart cool. That's how I do.
Well, 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 that's my man, Mr. Keith Wright, and he said he's making smart cool. He's making smart cool. Welcome to another edition of the Parents for the Parents Network. I'm your host, M.H. Scott, and as always, I promise you another wonderful show, a wonderful show, a show that will be very informative as well as entertaining from time to time. You know, last week we had some great guests that called in. And the lady shared some insight with us that, they experienced during the time period that their children were going through the recruiting process. Although my guests did not identify themselves and, you know, talk more about their children, they talked about a lot of experiences that they had, but they didn't go into a whole lot of detail on who their children were. Believe me, trust me. When I say this, their children played at some of the highest levels in professional and college basketball that's out there on the market. And what I mean by that, played at some of the prominent schools, at least at the collegiate level, and now trying to move on, and in some cases moved on to play at the professional level. So, you know, they was able to share some great things with us. So what are we going to do today? What are we going to talk about today? What am I going to share with you today? I got a few things to share with you, and then I'm going to go ahead and share a little additional information about the SAT, because I know that that's right around the corner. Folks, if your child has not started studying for the new SAT, and has only prepared for the old version of the SAT, this is the very last test, the very last go-around for that particular test. I'm saying this, I'm telling you this, I'm trying to share this with you because there are some things out there. Very simple, very plain, and very easy that this new SAT, you know, there's some things out there that's telling me that this new SAT is going to be a monster. Kids are going to take some time for them to get adjusted to the format and the way that this new SAT is going to be presented. Now, of course, it supposedly, as always, tests should be user-friendly, but I don't think this new SAT is going to come straight out of the market user-friendly. And I think this new SAT is going to come out of the gate with a big challenge. So I'm waiting to see the adjustment or the new adjustment to the sliding scale as far as points are concerned. And as soon as I get that, I will be posting that on my social media page. I will put it up on Twitter if I can get a photocopy of it, and I'll paste it up there on Twitter, or or if I can get it in 140 characters or less, I'll post it up there. If not, it will definitely be on the Prayers Culture Prayers Network page on Facebook. Folks, this is the last SAT for our children that has been working hard and studying and trying to figure out the strategy of the test itself. The new SAT will come into play, and once the new SAT comes into play, it has altogether different format. And like I said, it's going to present some challenges for our folks, for our young folks. So if they're taking the one in January, all well, fine and dandy, great. They're waiting until March and put down that book that they've been studying. I don't care where they got it from. If it wasn't a book designed by a college board, and now hear me on this. If it wasn't a book designed by a college board and Khan Academy, then they need to put the book down. College board and Khan Academy. If it's just some literature coming out by a college board or some other company out there that think they have the market on the SAT and the test questions and the format, I would very seriously question that. Very seriously question that. He has given the exclusive rights to their test to Khan Academy. Spelled K-H-A-N, Khan Academy. And this Khan Academy has put out a tutorial for the new SAT, which will be administered as early as March. I'm not saying anything that's new, folks. I'm not saying anything that we don't have time to prepare for. Because I would recommend, based upon getting this information, if you're just getting it for the first time tonight, go to collegeboard.com, start looking at the new information for the SAT, and they'll start sending you information with updates and all this other kind of stuff on the new test. So realistically, your child can have 2 months to prepare for the new test. If he or she been grinding hard on taking the old test, which this is the last version of it this month, I believe it's on the 23rd. If he or she has been studying and working hard and being diligent on getting this information in on this old test, Allow them to take a break before they start prepping and working towards, if they still need to take the test, take the new test. Don't throw them right into the March version. If they're taking the one here in January, give them a little break. Let them study. Let them get themselves together. February and March, and jump into the very next one that's made available. But don't throw them right into the March. That's just a recommendation that I'm putting out there. Because it's going to be such a difference, and they're going to go in there with that old strategy. Once they see that test, they're going to go in there with that old strategy. And once that old strategy is probably sunk into their head because they've been working real hard on trying to maximize their points. They go in there with that old strategy, and the new test will blow them away. So allow them to take a little break, get themselves together, take a look at the new test, study, through Khan Academy. And I'm suggesting, strongly recommending, that is the only source of information that you need to go to. Khan Academy and look and see what they have to say about the new test. And then once they get familiar with it, once they get to the point where they're comfortable with it, then get them registered for it and get them in there. Again, folks, this SAT, the new SAT, is coming out. It's right around the corner. Each and every time I see any new information pop up on it from collegeboards.com, or their site, or wherever, I'm trying to get it out to everyone, you know, so stay tuned. Keep an eye on what we're posting on Facebook and on Twitter, because hopefully this information will help you and your child get the best out of what we have here. Well, and like I said I have some information for you on SAT, and I'm going to go into that here in a minute, folks. But, you know, as always, I play a little something just to make sure that you know that you're listening to
Parents. Check out Parents Coaching Parents Network on blogtalkradio.com/parentscoachingparents.
And with the 43rd pick in the 2012 NBA draft, the Atlanta Hawks select Mike Scott from the University of Virginia.
Check out Parents Coaching Parents Network on blogtalkradio.com/parentscoachingparents.
Is highlighting the standards in Virginia, those same standards may apply to your area as well. So anytime you have an opportunity to check on it, verify it, make sure that those standards don't apply or those standards do apply, because you want to know what's going on. You want to give your child the best possible opportunity to get the highest score, maximize their score as much as possible.
Now, folks, you know, things that my guest is talking about,
and some of the things that I want to highlight here. She is referring to the old SAT, the SAT that will be administered for the last time this month. This month, we will try to get her on live to stress some points and highlight some things for the upcoming or the new SAT prior to the first one being administered. Hopefully we can get her on live and she can share this information with us live and we can dialogue and get some feedback and ask some questions and all these other great things. So be patient, folks. We're getting this information out to you, but this is for the new, for the old test. This is for the test that's going to be administered for the very last time this month.
The listening test, which I work, is a very peculiar exam. Some parents will say, well, not that my child needs to hate you. Well, unless they're really bad at science, you should take the ATP as a math. As I just told you, and it also is ATP is 2 or 3 long tests. So you sit for an hour or so with it. They still have it's a longer test, more similar to the time test you're used to. And also, if you leave something blank or you get something wrong, it counts the same as the wrong answer. The SAT doesn't count that way. They do it completely differently, and most students don't understand how that works. So, yes, I am here to help a lot of students improve their SAT scores, especially in the strategy. So if you come to me and you have done nothing in your life to learn any English, or any grammar, or any mathematics, if you're an algebra 1, and you're going to need an SAT, you're in a bad place. Because you have the SAT goes through algebra 2. You have to have that value and so forth. I'm a strategist. I'm a strategist that people who she does get a higher score. And I can't put schooling in your head if you waste your time in school. Okay? And people will talk about that because it's a lot of money. Now, you say, well, maybe how are you good at this work? For the last reason, that's but my current reason, my nephew is on a full ride with DMI right now for Chickie, and it's an amazing opportunity. My sister pays nothing. They pay for books. They pay for everything. It's unbelievable. And it's free because boy can keep a ball. But when he does anything as SAT, we get to have a conversation. Sit down and work through that just like you see if you're going to play in another team in the high school league. So we're in the local, she graduated from Fitchville, she's a state record holder, and so I'm very involved in football. So I'm really interested and I'd like to see kids get that money because it's a lot of money, there's a lot of education in the future. And it's ridiculous to pass the SAT, the formidable vote. There are tests that stay between you and what you want to do. You have a choice. You can hope for the best or be prepared. If you come into an SAT voting, you're going to release disappointment. Trust me. What if it's not only about the content? Team prepared means knowing the simple things about the SAT. The best practice material. If you go to Barnes & Noble, there's an entire wall of SAT prep stuff. The thing is, you need to buy material if you're buying, and a lot of it's free on their website. It needs to be written by College Board because they're the owners of the copyright. Everybody else has to tweak it a little to make it non-illegal to reproduce. So if you go to the source, and you pick the right place to go. Go get yourself online and use all the free materials. If they're not sending you the SAT question of the day right now as a freshman, you're done on the mark. There are any new questions. Every day, in your email box, try this. You'll get better at this as time goes on. That's where you start. College Board and they are too modest. They say, nobody knows our test better than we do. And they're right. Because they own it. And that's where you want to work. That's where you want to do all your work. Stay away from all the other materials because they take you off track. I'm also going to tell you, I like to use the materials, but I'm not crazy about the advice they give with the materials. You see, the advice going every the Tennessee can send me another form. There's 3 conscious area tested reading and writing. There's 10 exams, and each one is area 3 each. So what does that mean in math? There's one test you take, the other you then count. It counts for the people who write the test, but not for you. And that's one of the things they do. They put a test in the beginning of your experience that you take, and you're a gung-ho, and you're at your best, and then you can count. You have to be very careful when you do your best on test number 10, as well as test number 1. You're going to go at 7:30 in the morning, you're going to stay there 5 hours, and you're going to take 10 exams back to back. Trust me, if you're not, if you don't know that ahead of time, your body will not last for you. As you won't. All the answers there are there 5 answers for items, there's no graphics, English reading, or writing. There are limits to graphics and math. The good thing about that SAT math is it's straight math. It's not the SOL, jumbled up, less tricky today math, okay? Very much just straightforward math. Know your mathematics, you'll be able to excel in the math section, okay? That's very good news for people who are strong in math. Not a lot of stuff to read through. Wrong answers count against you in every section except the student-produced responses in the math section. And you need to know that. Because if you repeat it, find a problem where it doesn't count against you and it's wrong in the same section. So you need to do that part first because nothing can hurt you. And then do the eight problems in the front where something can hurt you. Okay? When answers do not count against you, the entire section is revealed that I told you that. Now let me explain what it is to you. Okay? This is the key piece of that same thing to understand. When you're in elementary school, your teacher may have given you a popsicle stick or a sticker or something for being good. Shake your head if you remember we take your reward. Okay? And you would earn these rewards, and if you misbehave, some teacher would do what? Take them away. That's exactly right. Think about that little thing going on here for me. Popsicle stick is your reward. So in the SAT, you get an answer right, you get a popsicle stick. If you get an answer wrong, you can reject some of your popsicle sticks. If you leave it blank, you keep your popsicle stick. You don't get it. And you don't have to finish. Why don't you go, oh, boy, that's 2 minutes left, but I've got 5 problems. The 5 hardest problems on the test. I'm guaranteeing you, you're getting them wrong, and you've got 2 minutes left. So leave them blank. And you don't lose your confidence. I have kids who earn 50, but just 540, because they can answer everything. Why do they do that? Because they've been trained to do that by public school educators, which I want, for their entire school career, answer everything. Never leave anything blank as a team. You can leave things blank strategically. I assume that they, oh, I don't see the whole thing blank. What are you going to get blank? It's all about getting what you get right. It's holding on to it. And not letting problems go because I think I can figure that out. The answer what you know the answers. And here's what I don't do. The questions are in order from easy to hard. The easy ones count the same as the hard ones. I tell you, do every single HMBU problem. If you don't get to the hard ones, nothing wrong. But you should be able to do every easy HMBU problem. And that will give you a very respectable score. Very respectable. Answers are in order from easy to hard. In every section, that's the reading part. The reading part is different. Because it mixes the difficulty up, which means the first question could be the hardest and the second question the easiest. But basically, I tell students, go back on and ask you to read. If you're asked to read one line, that's an easy question. If you're asked to read 2 to 8 lines, that's a medium question. And you're going to get about 20 to 30 of them. And then if it tells you to read the whole thing, the question says, after reading the whole passage, really good at. Football, and football, they do a lot of things called intimidation tactics. So when this gentleman from my fantasy playing with glass players, even, they would come out with their benches loaded, bring in the JV team, put them on, make everybody look like, whoa. And then when they come to the line, they're huffing and they're grunting, the game kind of means, sorry, and the mission player would go home. That's called intimidation. If you walk into the SAT and you haven't dealt with some of these things, you're going to look at those words and go, oh my gosh, I don't have an English language. Because they're perfectly safe. I mean, they're going to hate you. That's so on purpose. So you've got to get past that intimidation and look for where you can do your best. So you're going to have to play defense. Or you're going to have to play that best team wherever they are. And you can defeat them. If you can defeat them, it's the best score you can get. Take the best score that your ability can get. Just, you know a lot about your coach. There are three content areas with possible 800 points for each one. The one that qualifies for your scholarship are these two areas of reading and mathematics. So you have a possible 1,600 points there, and the NCAA asks you to get anywhere from, you know, 800 to 900, 1,000, whatever. If your GPA is really low, you're going to have to get a high SAT. Your GPA is very low, the chances you get in the high of GPA is not going to happen. It's much easier to get your GPA up and get a reasonable expectation out of the SAT. Okay? That's what I'm telling you. Really work on the GPA. It's easier to improve your GPA than it is to knock the SAT out of the bar. Unless you're a brand genius and you've just been playing the game every day in school. You know, it's just kind of like, I was just brushed, I didn't want to do this. I don't know about that, but I know it does. Okay. All right. The critical reading section has three parts. They're about 25 minutes long. See the number of questions here. There are of these 57 questions, 19 questions are filled in blanks. I've worked with hundreds of students over the years, and that's where I've had the biggest deficit. They don't know how to do the fill in the blank. The words are intimidating. I've seen the words before. You don't know what they are, they don't know how to do those kind of questions. Well, I have all the skills that I can showcase here, and I'm going to showcase how to do the fill in the blank. Because that's 19 questions you could get right if you really worked in that area. Okay? Each section will begins with sentences so you can continue through the passage. Okay? They only send completions go in order to teach you hard. They can have one or two blanks. Let me show you how to test right to play. They have eight questions. Some of them have one blank to fill in, so they have two. But they do the same thing as well. Number one has two blanks. Number two, one. Number three, one. Number four, two. Number five, two. Number six, one. Number seven, two. Number eight, one. Because they do that so that your brain has a ping pong between strengths. It's just like, one about here, and one about here, and one about this, and one about this. Some of those students do all the one blanks first and come back and do all the two blanks. Or do all the two blanks first, and come back to do all the one blanks. Then you play the game two blanks. Then you're playing it to your advantage instead of the test advantage. You see what I'm referring to with this? So if I teach you a strategy for the one blank, just follow those. And then to a strategy which is completely different than the two blanks altogether. Because that's how you change your score. That's how you teach your staff and say, okay. I'm going to try to show you how this works. So here's one blank. 100% of the time, the answer to the blank is in the sentence. 100% of the time. And you know where students go or test takers go? They read the sentence, they see the blank, and they need to go to the choices. And if they're thinking of choices, that's absolutely the wrong thing to do. When you look at the one blank, read the sentence, and you look for the answer, finish to go to the choice. If you have an answer in your head, you won't be ping-ponging over all the choices. And here's what we're going to do. Normally, if I'm working with a student, I would show them the choices because they need to know the choices and start thinking this. And that's exactly how it does. Exactly. So what I'm going to show you is this. Who can be a blank element in family black? Come. Bring them together, times of trouble and times of joy. In the IAT, the answer to that blank is in the lands on this side of the comma, the answer is on the other side of the comma. In this case, who can be a blank element in daily life? If I start thinking all those words in, every single word works. But they don't match the exact definition given in the sentence. In other words, bringing them together is the operative verb here. Okay? It's a prepositional phrase. Don't know what a prepositional phrase is, you're going to have trouble with the SAT. Okay? These are phrases that amplify this step right here. Bringing us together is the exact definition of the answer. It is positive or negative.
Positive.
Okay. You want a positive answer. Now let's look at the word. And attention. Test is the root. Is it positive or negative? Okay. It's a negative word. Okay. So could it be the answer? No. All right. Let's look at the second one. It starts with the letter C O N. Come. Positive or negative?
Negative.
Could it be the answer? No. The next word starts with U N I. What does the prefix U N I mean? One. Is that positive or negative? Positive. The next word starts with R E. R E means to do something again or go back. Is that positive, negative, or neutral?
Neutral.
It's neutral. Okay. R is a neutral prefix. And what about the last word starts with I N? I N. Is I N positive or negative? Negative. Now, these words should be recognizable to you. When you take the SAT, they will look like Chinese. If you don't know your prefixes, all those little N, not, non, X, A, all these little things that come in front of the words, and know if they're positive or negative, you can't sort the Chinese. You can sort words, you have no idea what they are. If you know about prefixes. And what they are. Okay? So we have to add to this list negative, negative, positive, neutral, negative. What do we want bringing this together? Positive. So if it is Chinese, could we get the answer right? Yes. Do you know what people do when the words are in Asia? When the words are words they don't know at all? They pick the words they know a little about, even though they have nothing. Do in the sentence. See it all the time. If they recognize one word in the list, they pick that word. And that's exactly what you call a sucker punch. Because you just spell the center data. If you read your material, they'll tell you to fill in the blank. It creates your prefix, suffix, and root. The stuff you can learn is the second grade. The prefix, suffix, and root that they use on the SAT come from the second, third, fourth, and fifth grade. That's it. No high-level prefixes. No high-level roots. Absolutely no high-level. All second and third grade suffix. But the SAT, not really. Because so you think it is, if you know how to run the page. So, 100% of the time, the answer will be in the sentence. I can't let you go look at line in your own mind and back it up, or you can use the word from the left or right. Now, if the word from the left or right on Chinese, you're going to have to go with your first response, okay? But hoping to blank the dispute. What word is doing that like from your own mind? Hoping to blank the dispute. What would negotiators want to be doing with the dispute? Okay, how would you look at me? Because all of you that are searching the choices, you are falling for the matrix again. I'm watching you all do that. And I'm sitting here going, oh, you're going to make it. Because you're blind to golden choices. And you can get it, you have to take your hand and lay it over the choices. Let me show you how far there. When you are reading an item in your peripheral vision, you are already considering choice A. Before you finish reading, and where do you think they put the best wrong answer? In the first choice. So you have to be very careful when you take any test. You got a lot of A's in your answer. You probably got a lot of wrong answers. Because that's where the best thing is going to go. Because that's where your study, you're on your bulletin board. Your picture is up there. Here is what presentation we're going to take these people out. And we're going to use intimidation, and we're going to use behavior that they've learned in school and destroy them with. Okay? So, what you can back out of the chat like this, okay? So, you said, hoping to what did you do? Gosh, that was great work. Let's look at the word on the left. Which word on the left means to stop? And what else? Resolve? Anything else? Overcome. Okay, we got three words and a two word to stop. Now watch this. We said this one and this one are not correct, right? So we're going to mark them out, but we're going to take our pen and go all the way across. Okay? When you go all the way across, you eliminate the answers that would make you question. Because what's left is one positive and two negative. If I think unattractive, acceptable. When you have two negatives, one positive and one blank, don't pick it. The positive one is not acceptable. You just have to know what you need. You just have to be a strategist. And what am I telling you? Because they do this on purpose. And you have to come into this game prepared to go at them at their own game. So like I said, I work with kids and I teach them strategy, but I don't teach them English, I'm reading, and math. I teach them the successful class. First thing I have to do when you sit down with me is I take successful class, start on page one, and we're going to walk through it, show you what it looks like. I'm going to talk to you all about its characteristics before every teacher's strategy. Because you, what you all do when you play karate, you watch films, right? Why do you watch films? Exactly. So that you can plan what you're going to do, right? That's exactly how you take it as a team. Look at them, look at all their tapes, and you plan what you're going to do. So, in case you want to know, I have two students in the business. I'm working with coaches in the area. I do some volunteer work here and there. I teach kids all over the place. I'm completely booked for every single day. I'm getting a kid to help me with the SAT and for the main exam. I'm not looking for anything. I'm just giving you information, PowerPoint, and pull what you need. I can't possibly see all the students in Virginia. And I don't want to have a business or anything like that. I just want to help kids and come across my path. It's best if you work as a coach. It's nice when I get to go out to high school and work with several members of the team at once, because that way it's like helping more kids. So I have a good relationship with Warren and Mitchville, and he's been busy, and I live in the New York area, so I kind of play those relationships. But I just want you to know, you need help before you take the SAT. If anyone tells you to take the SAT and try it out, tell them to jump off the bridge and try it out. Okay, because that's the same thing that you're going to put in the nation. All right, you don't take it that thing and try it out. Because we do learn terrible ways to answer questions, and then somebody's going to have to teach you how not to do that. And
folks. Hopefully you picked up something from Ms. Paula Brown. And as Paula says, she's not doing this as a business venture. She's just simply doing this because she loves working with young athletes here in the Virginia area. But those tips that she gave out and that little bit of strategy that she shared with us tonight is valuable with the SAT. Now, again, I have to stress the point that we're only talking about the current SAT. We're only talking about SAT that will be administered later this month. We are not talking about SAT that will come out as of March. Things like March 3rd or March 6th, where the test actually will be given. I'll tell you in a minute. I think I have the schedule here. Pull it up. The actual test for the month of March will be March. Oh, I believe it's March the 5th. March the 5th. So if you're taking the test on March the 5th, nothing that you heard this evening on from Ms. Paula will apply. But everything that you heard this evening from her will apply if your child is taking the test this month in January. And let me double check and make sure I know what date that is. January 23rd is test date. January 23rd is test date. So if your child hasn't already registered for that test, January 23rd is the test date. If they have registered, everything that was shared this evening by our guests is some valuable information for the January 23rd SAT. Again, if it's March, then I would go back to the drawing board and just strictly focus on taking that test. Because one thing that they're doing, and as you shared that strategy on you know, the words that our children see on these tests, and the test, to me, has a little bias to it, but that's a whole altogether different subject and something not to worry about at this current moment. But one thing that she did stress, and I know to be a fact, on the new SAT, we will no longer have these words that children are not familiar with. That's why I said that the SAT is a little biased and it has some issues, because it had terminology and language that the average high school student is not familiar with. It's not something that's taught in their curriculum. So, you know, to put that on the test, it's almost, you know, especially if you're talking about the average high school student in public school, you're not going to see as many of those words that you would have seen on the SAT. And I think that in itself is a problem. That in itself is a problem. If anyone has any information that they want to share on the SAT, the new one or the old one, or some experience that they had, you can always give us a call this evening, 917-889-8095, 917-889-8095, and just chime in on the conversation or ask your question or, you know, just throw something out there, experience that you had that you can share with our listening audience that your child may have overcame due to great practice. You know, that's all I'm saying. And that's always something good to know. You know, other experiences that folks may have had. Experiences that folks had. But, again, the new SAT is altogether different. It will have some new stuff on it. If your child wants to test out and try the ACT, ACT is more curriculum-based. ACT is more curriculum-based. Again, if you want to call in and just share some thoughts, ideals, or some experience that you may have had or your child may have had, should I say, then by all means, please do. We always welcome callers. And any information that we have posted this. Actually, it is a video. We have posted a video up on our Facebook page previously. We'll probably post it again, but it's not going to be something that will stay up there because I realize that if it stays up there, someone may think that it applies to the new SAT and start using that strategy, and as a result, it not work out for them in the long run. But always, if you have any questions, reach out to us. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Twitter at PCP Network. Or you can just simply send us an email at PCPHR@AOL.com. PCPHR@AOL.com.
Check out Parents Coaching Parents Network on blogtalkradio.com/parentscoachingparents.
And with the 43rd pick in the 2012 NBA draft, the Atlanta Hawks select Mike Scott from the University of Virginia.
What is the NAIA?
The National Association of Intercollegiate Athletics is the organizing body that oversees college athletics for its member schools. Schools who are members of the NAIA are made of smaller colleges located in the United States and Canada. The NAIA was established in 1952 as an organization to establish competition between colleges. The NAIA sponsors 13 different sports and runs 23 annual championships for those sports, in both men's and women's athletics. The NAIA has different member schools than the NCAA and has different eligibility requirements as well. To make sure you are eligible to compete at an NAIA school, you need to register with the NAIA Eligibility Center at playnaia.org. Feel free to learn more at our website, athleticscholarships.net. Get recruited to play college sports today.
Check out Parents Coaching Parents Network on blogtalkradio.com/parentscoachingparents.
Well, folks, we're back. You know, we're winding down to the last few minutes. I've had some good dialogue on the NCAA's SAT, the SAT. Some great insight from Ms. Paula Brown, who is an SAT or testing expert, should I say. Paula has been in the business for a number of years, and she has shared some great information with us this evening on simple strategy on taking the SAT. Again, I have to stress the point that the SAT that she was referring to this evening, old version, which will be administered the very last time on the 23rd of January, will be administered the very last time on the 23rd of January. After that, the new SAT comes into play, and the very first testing date that will be available will be March the 5th. If you haven't already registered for that test, you may want to go ahead and register for that test. Again, folks, if you have been stressing and grinding and studying hard and diligently over the old version of the SAT, I would say take a little breather in between before you attempt to take the new SAT. because there is some information on there that may not necessarily, well, may throw you off. And I don't want that to happen. I want everyone to have a fair opportunity to do their very best, on the SAT. Well, folks, you can find us each and every Sunday night at 9:30 here on the Parents Coaching Parents Network, here on Blog Talk Radio. And we're here just for the parents. You know, we're here to share information on, you know, what we need to do for their children to get into school, to get that athletic scholarship, or get that financial aid if they're going into a Division III school. You know, they heard the little infomercial from the NAIA. Let me tell you about the NAIA, folks, and hopefully I have somebody on to give us an update and some more information on what's going on in the NAIA world. But the NAIA is somewhat different than the NCAA, and actually I think it's a better format if you're not stuck on the prestige of the NCAA. And the only reason why we're stuck on the prestige of the NCAA because it's in our face 24/7. Every school that we hear about, see about on TV, read about in the newspaper is normally a NCAA school. But NAIA has a huge program as well, large number of schools out there. And athletes can go there, play at the Division I, II, or III level at an NAIA school as well. Greatest thing I like about the NAIA is that their coaches are able to come out all year round to look at some individuals, to look at some talent, to see if there's some kid that they're interested in. So that's a great thing, huge thing. Well, folks, you know, I'm getting down to my last few minutes here on the Parents for the Parents Network. I just wanted to share that information with you for the very last time on the NCAA SAT, or excuse me, keep saying the NCAA's SAT. The collegeboard.com SAT. Again, the new SAT will be hitting the streets here real soon. Get a chance, you go out there, I want you to Google collegeboard.com and Khan Academy. collegeboard.com Academy. That should take you straight to their website. And from there, you can register, start taking some of the practice tests, which is a legitimate practice test. And I guarantee you, if you start working on those practice tests now, hopefully by the time March rolls around, you'll have no problem with the SAT, or again, you can always reach out there and take the ACT if that's something that you're a little bit more familiar with. If you're a very good student, you know, Ms. Paula stressed the point about if you haven't been working on your math and you're not a very good student in the first place, then to get out there and think that you're going to take the SAT and knock it right out of the park, you may want to think again. Well, folks, you know, at this point, that's all I have for this evening. It's been fun. It's been real fun. Again, the Parents Coach Parents Network is here for you, parents, to help you understand the recruiting process, help you assist your child through that process, to make sure that he or she gets the best out of the process. Now, we're not talking about strictly basketball. We're not strictly talking about football. We're talking about any sport. I have a number of other guests that call in from time to time, another number of parents around the country that simply share their insight, like the lady we had on last week. We had folks coming in from Texas, New Jersey, and North Carolina, and they all share, and Maryland, and they all shared information with us on, you know, the things that their children were able to do. But, again, you can always reach us on Facebook. You reach us on Twitter at PCP Network. Hey, if you have any questions, reach out to us. We're here for you. I'm going to close out, let my man, Mr. Keith Wright, play his little piece there. Hopefully, Keith is still listening, checking us out from time to time. A graduate of the University of Harvard, plays some ball up there. Now, I think he's overseas, or he may be in the business world. If he's in the business world, I'm going to reach out to him. Let's let him give us an update on what he has going on. But I'm going to close out with this piece here, folks. As Keith says at the end, he's making smart cool. That's how he does it. He's making smart cool. Otherwise.
dude in another game. Had people frontin' talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know what would make it with the knowledge in my brain. And if I succeed with that, then B-Ball would do the same. I can't complain, the situation that I'm in. Meeting different connects that turn out to be my friend. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end. And when the ball starts bouncing on my diploma out the pen, let them hate then. Playing ball is just a small part. With this education, I have a great start. And if you work hard for the teachers, they might be showing love in the stands or in the bleachers. I'm only preaching, I'm just trying to spit knowledge and acknowledge opportunities at your disposal when you get to college. I use ball as a tool. Now every day I'm living and I'm making smart cool. That's how I do.
Check out Parents Coaching Parents Network on blogtalkradio.com/parentscoachingparents.